From NPR News, this is News and Notes. I'm Ed Gordon. In a time of increasing globalization, large corporations and entrepreneurs are looking beyond America to make a profit. For years, corporations have seen the need to grow and boost profits by competing around the world. But African Americans haven't always been in the fore of this movement. The fact is, the world's economy is becoming more diverse. Blacks and other people of color should stake their claim to helping increase a company's bottom line. So say two leading global diversity consultants, Virginia Clark, head of Spencer Stewart's Global Diversity Practice in Chicago, and Dwight Ellis, president and CEO of Dwight Ellis & Associates, based just outside of Washington, D.C.
I was reading something not too long ago about the tipping point being reached in this country, in fact, in the world, when it comes to people of color, of which, of course, African Americans are a major part, at least in North America. And the tipping point is that with all this new technology, emerging technologies, and globalization, migrations of people from Eastern Europe, from other parts of the world coming over into this country, competing, all competing for jobs and positions, that African Americans, who for so long have been the mainstay of people of color in this country, pretty much, are facing some pretty stiff competition. Let's say the Gen X's and Gen Y's, particularly, you know, the emerging workforce, really have a long road to hoe. I think there are a lot of stats that show that a lot of our young professionals and emerging professionals are behind the eight ball when it comes to preparing for the new workforce.
Let me ask you this, Ms. Clark. When you think about economic growth in this country, we have seen a lot of industries go stagnant and thereby causing corporations and others to look outside of the United States for economic growth. Corporations in the fore of business know and understand that it is a much bigger market than the United States. And from the entrepreneurial side, blacks have to understand that.
That's absolutely right. And I think as African Americans, we need to make sure that we're equipped to do business internationally, to do business globally. And that means equipped with an understanding of culture, of language, of religion, of a variety of competencies that transcend the United States and how we do business here. And that's what's going to allow us to move across the continents and have better employment as a basic issue, because these companies absolutely need our insights if they're going to compete globally.
Dwight Ellis, if we understand that 80% of the globe is not white, 50% of it is not male, one would want to believe that you'd be able to sell yourself to corporations and others in terms of the importance of understanding that dynamic and bringing it to the table.
You know, Ed, I know you know, because both of us have been involved in media for so long. There used to be a time when we thought, well, you know, corporate America really needs us, especially with the Census Department saying that by 2020, the workforce would be principally minorities, women, and people coming from Eastern Europe and all that. Therefore, jobs are pretty much well set for us. Opportunities, they need us. Well, I'm not so sure anymore, because with the outsourcing of jobs and opportunities, you look at the minorities of India and the minorities of China and the minorities from other places, sub-Saharan Africa, North Africa, coming into the environment that was once pretty much thought to be the purview or the playground, so to say, or opportunity playground of African Americans, creates a different pattern of opportunity.
Virginia Clark, Dwight Ellis brings up an interesting point, and that is diversity becomes one of those buzzwords that we hear quite a bit now. But when you think about diversity, for African Americans, we did believe that that was going to be the key to the kingdom, and we are starting to see many of our group being eased out. How do you work at stopping that and making sure that you receive your slice of the pie?
I think it means we're prepared, that we're educated, that we are mindful and carefully managing our own careers. I still think corporate America has a lot to offer for African Americans, but I think we're getting smarter, and some of the smart ones have opted out. We have a choice, and I think corporate America recognizes that as well and is making some efforts, not always the best efforts, to create retention programs and to create opportunities that are going to allow the star performers to have a long and fruitful and lucrative career.
the emergence of the African diaspora and the continent of Africa as business rich, if you will, is something that many African Americans did not lose sight on over the last 20 years or so. Yet you've not seen, I think, the kind of outreach and the kind of partnership that people thought that they were going to see. Why do you think that's the case?
Some of our contemporaries and perhaps some even younger contemporaries were faced with the reality that Africa, especially sub-Saharan Africa, being led pretty much by South Africa as the jewel of the continent and sub-Saharan, they are struggling very much just as we are in this country as part of the diaspora in the United States of America, even in North America. Some of my colleagues thought that if we go over to Africa, that they would welcome us with open arms and say, welcome to the homeland, brother, and we'll share our riches with you and all that. But we didn't quite go over there with enough, and we didn't quite understand the diaspora of Africa, the various cultures that exist. A lot of us didn't do our homework, so we were very well credentialed, for sure, pretty good in business, but we really didn't understand the world of Africa. But Europe understands the world of Africa. So you see sub-Saharan Africans, North Africans in places in Europe, and Australia, and increasingly in China and the Pacific Rim, and they're multilingual. They speak more than one language. Most of us don't speak more than one language.
Is it realistic, Virginia Clark, for us to assume, particularly in corporate America, we're going to start to see these avenues open up when we know that management ranks and boardrooms are still almost all exclusively white male enclaves?
I think it is realistic. I think we have to do our part in being prepared and begin to really insist on getting some of these opportunities and work with these organizations so that they can really create an environment where we're going to do well. I always use the analogy that there can be organ rejection. People say, well, I want one of those African Americans or one of those Hispanics in this organization, and yet they haven't done anything to really evaluate and assess and prepare that culture, that company that has heretofore been homogeneous for someone who's not like them. And so for as much as they might want this representation in their organization for all the right reasons, very often these very savvy professionals and executives of color are saying, you know what, I've got other choices. I can go to an environment where I know I can succeed and I can put my head down and do what I'm good at as a person of color, as a professional.
Let me say this very quickly, that I don't want to put all of the weight of non-participation or non-preparation on African Americans. I think what we're talking about is pretty much an American syndrome. The most white Americans are not internationalists who don't, most white Americans, professional and otherwise.
So we all become the ugly American.
We all become the ugly American. However, I think African Americans, if we realize the value that we really carry with us by our pigmentation, by all that we have, and our connections beyond even Africa, accepting Africa, but understanding opportunities and understanding how to take advantage of opportunities, I think is beneficial to our group as African Americans and especially to this country.
Virginia Clark, I know one of the things that you want to make sure that people understand is fair or unfair. In relative terms, African Americans are still new and learning the upper rungs of corporate America. And while we have made steady gains, there is still a lot for us to learn.
You know, when I think about my parents, who were, my mother was a physical therapist, my father a state employee, and while they had great experience and were well-educated, the corporate world was something that we didn't talk about at the dinner table. So, you know, our counterparts have generations of experience in at this game, so to speak. And so, yes, we're prepared technically. We're getting our advanced degrees and we're getting good experiences in our corporations. But I think there's probably only 40 or 50 years of experience as compared to hundreds. We need to learn the game. We need to know when to step out and to leverage maybe some other competencies that we've developed. But we've got a long way to go. I'd love to see us change the rules of the game as we go. And I think we're really positioning ourselves to do more of that as you see more minority, particularly African-American board of directors, and you see more CEOs. They're small numbers, but this is where it's beginning to start, and it's going to take a while. We have to stay with it.
Let me ask you both this as a closing question. Virginia, I'll start with you, and that's the question of whether or not this is perhaps even too Pollyanna of a thought,
But often we hear the idea of networking, and we see it with other groups in terms of tackling new frontier, i.e. diversity on a global scale for African Americans. Is this something that we should look to more a conglomeration of groups of successful blacks to tackle new territory?
There needs to be cross-cultural networking. And so I don't know that just associating with ourselves is going to net us the optimal insight and gains to really position us to do better. I think we should be forming alliances with people in other countries and with people of other nationalities, whether they're sponsors, whether they're people who can teach us, whether they're mentors, whether they're mentees and people that we can bring along. So I'd really like to see us broaden our relationship building a lot more thoughtfully and strategically, but cutting across global lines.
And Dwight Ellis, I would think that the important point to that would not be the obvious connection, i.e., as we said before, the African diaspora, the Caribbean, et cetera, but the idea of Finland and Sweden and Europe, et cetera.
Absolutely. We are everywhere as part of the diaspora. I believe that African Americans in the United States, we are the most privileged and most advanced of the African diaspora. There's no question about it. We make more money. We live larger than others, you know, in the continent. So we can provide a large leadership. What is missing, the hole in the soul, is an understanding of how we fit into the global society. Historically, we are more than simply descendants of slaves.
All right. Well, as we look at blacks and the global economy, we thank you both for joining us today.
My pleasure.
That was Dwight Ellis, president and CEO of Dwight Ellis & Associates, and Virginia Clark, who leads the Spencer Stuart Global Diversity Practice in Chicago.